Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Round spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie!
He likes it!
Nothing for you!
Feed me more!
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome everybody to Wildfire Radio Small Bites. I'm Donato Marino with D&L Bean to Barista Service. And with me is my one and only, not love, but one and only,
Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And Don, it's dead holiday season.
Yes, it is.
If you can't be merry, be with Sally.
Be with somebody.
But yeah, it's our last show of 2020. What a year it's been, buddy. I mean, one for the history books.
It's one of the craziest years I've ever seen.
I think for the majority of people.
Yes.
But I'm happy that for the most part, from what I've been told, our Small Bites crew, correspondents, everyone that works with us has been able to escape this craziness safely for the most part. Knock on wood,
definitely.
So I want to thank everybody. It was a wild ride this year. Couldn't have done it without all of you. So thank you. And to all of our fans, I want you all to have a happy and safe holiday season. But we can't end the year without talking to one of our favorite people, can we, Don?
No, not at all.
Especially since the last show, we talked to him for a couple words.
Yeah, and he got, a little...
Then there was some technical difficulty.
It happens. Not this time, though.
Not this time, I hope. And that would be John Howard Fusco. How's it going, buddy?
Evening, guys. How are we doing this evening?
Fantastic.
Hey, John, how are you?
So, what's hot and happening, buddy?
All right. I want to talk about a place called Sticky's Finger Joint.
Whoa, keep this clean, buddy. It's family show.
I know. Feeding all that. But this is a fast casual restaurant that's coming from New York to open its first location in Philly this Tuesday, December 6th. This is according to Eater Philly. The location will be opening on Fairmont Avenue in West Philly and will feature chicken fingers and fries topped with bacon and cheese. And I don't find anything wrong with that statement.
That's not at all.
So that's Sticky's Finger Joint. I want to talk also about Down North. This is a Detroit-style pizza shop that's opening in Strawberry Mansion on December 17th. Now, according to Philly Mag, the mission of this restaurant is to help employ people who have been incarcerated and are struggling to find employment. So it's not just a pizza shop, but also has a specific mission in mind. So, again, that's Down North and opening in Strawberry Mansion later this month. And then our friend Marilyn Johnson over at Philly Grub mentioned this past week that Rosati Ice is running a fundraiser for their furloughed employees, as well as providing free Italian ice to veterans and their caregivers. Their goal is to raise $300,000, and you can find the fundraiser over at GoFundMe. So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Eating in East Jersey, as well as South Jersey Food Scene website and Facebook page. I hope everyone stays safe this holiday season, and let's all try and give the gift, if nothing else, give the gift of kindness this season.
Well, thank you,
all
right,
Don. Well said.
All I know is Sticky Finger and Down North. We were on a slippery slope there for a little while, but it wouldn't have ended 2020 any other way. I certainly don't mind a Sticky Finger or a Down North to end this year. Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate everything you do, and same to you and your family. Happy holiday season, buddy.
All right, Derek, Don, all you take care. Have
you
a good
too.
Evening.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, Don, I mean...
That was going bad for a while.
Yeah, Sticky Finger and Down North. Don't know what direction you could go with that, besides just having your mind wander.
Yes.
So, the holiday season has brought us a reminder, too, that it doesn't look like 2020 will bring us another Super Bowl season.
I don't think so.
not this year, at least. But in happier things, we do have the founder and CEO of One Dine, Rom Krupp. And I got to tell you, this individual created an application which, when they were making it, I don't think in their wildest dreams what has happened in the world is and currently happening, but it has been a blessing to many industries. But before I spill all the beans, why don't we welcome Rom, say hello, and talk about a little bit of One Dine, how it was created, and what it does. How's it going tonight?
It's going great. How are you doing?
We're doing great. So tell us, first of all, congratulations. You were named among restaurant industry power players in Nation's Restaurant News 2020 Reader Picks and Crunchbase's number 11 hottest pre-IPO startup in the world for 2020. So 2020 has not been as bad for you as it has been for many. So congratulations, first and foremost.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But circumstances are definitely not what we expected, as you were saying. We service the restaurant industry, and it's been hard hit during COVID.
Without a doubt.
It's been tough watching. And we've done a lot to try to help the industry during that time. We gave away our technology for almost 6 months at no cost to restaurants, just to help them kind of overcome that initial hit. But let me tell you the story of One Dine, I guess. I've been doing restaurant technologies for almost a quarter of a century now. And for the last 10, 12 years, I've been watching a lot of the, bring your own device and how we can create operational efficiencies, better EBITDA for restaurants by giving customers more control of their dining experiences. So slowly working towards it, in the last 3 years, we built One Dine. It really was the concept around any device, be team member brings a device, customer brings a device, be phone, smartwatch, any tablet. How do you make it into a device that now people can interact with, order, pay, it recommends them things based on their dining behavior, and how to make everything simple and more efficient, which leads to contactless, right? How do we, if we touch your own device, there's less touch points from ordering and payment, digital menus. So with that, COVID hit and our technology kind of became essential for a lot of restaurants. And we're able to do a lot of interesting things like expanding the technology into the parking lot, where suddenly every empty parking lot spot, because the dining room was closed, became an ordering bay. Think of it like a Sonic. We were able to quickly create ordering spots using the empty parking lots. And as restaurants reopen, we start doing order your own, pay your own straight from the table. Unlike online ordering, we built technologies around the in-dining experience. So keeping checks open, ordering as a group, and making sure the food comes together. Everybody can pay their own part or pay for everybody. If you've got alcohol involved, then it requires a whole age verification mechanism. So we kind of built it for this world before we knew this world was coming.
And that is the one upside of that, was that the technology has lent itself to the current climate that we're in. But one of the other things going through the product offerings that I enjoyed seeing is the mobile menu browsing, because the average person doesn't realize that just because a business of any sort has a website, that it's not mobile friendly. Mm. And majority of businesses don't understand this. They say, well, I have a website, but your website has to be optimized in a different way for it to be effective on a mobile phone. And you guys are able to offer that in one of your services.
Well, you look at the behavior. I mean, a lot of people have done like PDF version or link to their website, or even sometimes to online ordering systems. But think about the behavior we're replacing with digital menus. Before COVID, you went to a restaurant, you had a menu, you browsed it. You didn't really necessarily memorize exactly what you wanted. You used muscle memory to kind of, hey, I remember there was a salad with kale I liked, or maybe there was a sandwich I liked. Well, you put the menu away, and when the server comes back a few minutes later, if you notice, 8 out of 10 people roughly would open the menu again and go roughly to the area and then read out what they wanted. How does that happen in a digital menu if you're pinching and zooming PDFs? So you have to have a way that as you're finding things you might be interested in, they can get bookmarked, they can be put away so you can recall them easy later on. It kind of remembers your favorite, can suggest you things based on what you already selected. So really created this experience that has to replace a printed menu.
Without a doubt. And also, one of the other things that really helps the establishments is generate the off-premise experience that the majority of businesses don't have the capability of doing. What I mean by that is you're getting surveys and the guest preference tracking. All of this management has made its way into a 360-degree solution that you are giving the proprietor the information for them to become not only successful, but excel. I mean, think about it, Don.
Yeah.
For you, you are the epitome of a local business. It's you, Lisa, your contacts are extensive, but there's only so much that you guys can do. So with a program like this, you would be able to have the follow-up done immediately and done with artificial intelligence. Isn't that correct, Rom?
Yeah, I mean, right now in November, we're providing experiences to 1.4 million people.
Wow.
And sometimes people in different restaurants. And the technology learns how you eat. So if you think about a restaurant, the challenge you have with communication is you only learn a little bit about a customer over a long period of time. So it's very hard to be really effective with your marketing, with your call to action, even just letting them know about a new limited time offer or menu change, because you know very little. Just because I only had shrimp in your restaurant doesn't mean I only eat shrimp, right? So as you're dining in other places, we don't really share competitive data. We don't tell you where they eat, where they spend money. But our machine learning is constantly learning how you eat. Maybe it identifies that I don't like onions. So now I go to your restaurant for the first time. If something contains an onion, it might tell me, hey, you might want to remove it. Or if the onion cannot be removed, it might not recommend it to me. So now you're about to launch a new spicy shrimp product. You know right away from within your client base, even if they never ate shrimp in your restaurant, which one will actually enjoy spicy shrimp. So your messages are much more tailored and you're able to talk to customers in a more effective way.
And that's just amazing. I mean, technology these days, Don, I mean, it's just, it's
crazy. You walk in and the menu tells you.
It already knows what you're going to like.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Netflix.
That's exactly what we do.
When I log on, I'm like, how did they know? And I like how Netflix even is like 92% that you're going to like it. I said, well, you're probably right then if it's 92%.
I want to eat it.
Well, I'll give you a great example. Let's say you have a burrito and the person who's tapping in the sensor in the table and comes to your restaurant for the first time is gluten intolerant and you actually have a bowl version of that product. If I know that, do I present a bunch of burritos that you can know you can substitute to a bowl or a bunch of bowls with photos of bowls without you having to know that it's really a burrito?
That's brilliant.
Or if you have a salad that comes with steak. Yeah, or you have a salad that comes with steak, but we see through the point of sale system, you can substitute steak to shrimp. And I know you don't eat meat. So do I show you a shrimp salad? And from what you're seeing, you're buying a shrimp salad. It looks really good. Well, when it goes to the point of sale system, it's really a steak salad, sub shrimp, right? Wow. But as a customer, you've experienced a shrimp salad. So you can curate a menu without changing your menu.
Wow. Now tell me this, Rom. I have an idea when I was looking at this concept, and you've expanded upon it. I know not a lot of people have it, but the technology and the equipment's becoming cheaper and cheaper every year. And if it's not out there, I want this trademark. And if you make it, just throw me a couple quarters my way. But what about a virtual reality menu where you have the virtual reality glasses and you can choose from the menu and you see it all in a virtual reality setting? So like you're saying, you would see that bowl or that burrito and you're picking it up and turning it around and seeing it completely virtual. That would blow my mind.
Good idea.
I think what you're referring to is more of an augmented reality where you look through the lens of your phone's camera or you look through the lens of, you know, like a wearable glasses.
Yes,
and now
yes.
you see it on your plate.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
So augmented reality more than a virtual reality.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of experimental out there with this technology. The challenge is cool doesn't have unit economics, right?
So it's very expensive.
They can justify, well, if you do that, revenue is going to go up 8 points. It's very hard to invest in technology to actually.
Sometimes technology
yes,
just
catches
does,
up to you.
Yeah, it gets you. But as he was saying, he likes the idea. It's just not cheap.
I think it's a great concept.
I would love that.
Yeah, what do they call it? Oculus?
Yeah. Oh, yep. The Oculus. But yeah. we have Rom back. Yeah. So me and Don were talking that one of the devices is called an Oculus. So you were saying that the augmented reality would raise the cost of doing business. So I'll let you continue.
Yeah, I mean, think about the cost of actually curate the imagery, right? So you got to start with images that actually would be viewable. Then you have to provide your customers the technology. But at the end of all that, it's pretty expensive capital expenditure. So the question is there economics in it that it will improve your revenue if you do it? And that's the challenge, right? Cool doesn't always pay for itself. And, you know, when we look at unit economics of restaurants, I mean, again, I spent 25 years in the space. You know, restaurants have EBITDAs of 10, 12, 13%. It's really tough, right? There's not a lot of margins to squeeze in a lot of things. One of the things about OneDine when we started it is how do we improve unit economics? I'll tell you the interesting part right now is we have some brands that implemented fully what we do during COVID and now are running EBITDAs in the mid-30s. They're actually more profitable than they've been before COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So maybe those brands could do some cool stuff, right, out of the additional profitability.
Without a doubt. And we've seen the uptick of what they're calling ghost kitchens, which your product works perfectly for that scenario.
Yeah, there's two concepts, really, right? You've got ghost kitchens and you have host kitchens, right? Ghost kitchens would be I create a brand inside my store that doesn't really exist, right? Or where a host kitchen would be I'm selling my product through somebody else's kitchen. So I might not have a location in New York, but I really want to offer my product in New York. So I partner with a local restaurant and they are actually creating the product. So when you go online, you order, it gets dispatched to a different restaurant where they have my inventory and they know how to make the product. And then we send people there and then they pick it up and deliver it to the last mile. So there's two concepts being developed. And then you've got these cloud kitchen concept, which really take it to a next level. They're actually building facilities where they can host a lot of different brands in a shared facility. So shared labor, shared refrigeration, shared cooking stations. And now a single facility in a low rent area can now fulfill four, five, six different brands products into a neighborhood or a region.
But as I said, I mean, every model that we've mentioned, hands down, I don't see one reason why OneDine cannot facilitate a better experience for the business owner and the guest, without a doubt. But
yeah, we call ourselves laughingly bring your own POS. You know, the point of sale system, we do everything else, right?
Exactly. But I have to say, Rom, it was a pleasure talking to you. This has been a tough transition for a lot of businesses, but I think that you guys have the know-how and the customer support to assist any business, and I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us and our listeners to get the word out of what they can do in a time such as this to have products to help them. Do you want to share a website, social media, anything like that before you go?
Sure. OneDine.com, as simple as that. And most of the social media, we're OneDine app. And hit us up. We'll be happy to help. And I appreciate you guys having us on.
No problem. Yeah, have
no
a great
problem
night.
At all. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, I mean,
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Like I said, Don, it's giving you all of those tools.
The concept is unbelievable.
It's got everything, all the boxes checked.
Yes.
That you would want. I mean, just to have the ability to say, like he said, if you know that person's profile,
yeah.
that they are gluten sensitive or something like that, it's not even going to show them those options on the menu.
If you're a vegan, you're not going to show them anything that has anything meat in it.
Exactly.
It's all going to be vegan-based products that you carry.
It's a brilliant business model, and I think everybody should check it out. But I'm going to tell you something else that's brilliant. Adam Leiter. He's the executive director of East Passyunk Avenue Business Improvement District. How's it going, buddy? It's been a while, but it's always a pleasure to...
Adam, how are you, Adam?
Have you?
I'm good, guys. It's like I'm a first-time caller, fourth-time guest.
Yes.
But not a long-time listener. No, I'm just... No. But as we stated in our show description, I want to give you guys over at East Passyunk Ave Business Improvement District a congratulations. In these ever-changing and sensitive times, you guys have continued to be a safe harbor in the Philadelphia area, curating things to do in a socially distanced manner with the health of every visitor and resident being of the utmost importance. And that's not the case everywhere in the city. And I know Don will attest to that. Sometimes you see some things and you're just like, only in Philadelphia, but this isn't the time to do what you're doing.
Very true. Very true.
Oh, I really appreciate that. And I think that, you know, I have to give a lot of credit, obviously, to all of our restaurants and the other businesses along East Passyunk Avenue, because you know, we can only give so much guidance and try and set up the parameters to do things safely, but still have an option to, you know, have fun and have some stress relief. And, you know, now that we're getting into the holiday season, have, you know, still some festiveness and joy for people to, you know, to get an experience. And so if we can have options that do it in a safe way, that people can still get out and you know, take part in some of these traditions, albeit in a slightly different manner, then it's great.
Exactly. And we know that the landscape is evolving and changing daily. The governor can make one statement today, and it will probably be a complete change tomorrow. But you guys are adapting as quickly as possible and always changing it. In this season, one of the things is, of course, right in your area. Granted, it's not on East Passyunk Ave, but it's a good start because you can stay in your car and not bother anyone, is the Miracle on 13th Street. That's a great way to get close to East Passyunk Avenue. Yeah.
The light show there is brilliant every year.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's been going on for years.
The neighbors do a great job. Right around the corner from the avenue. And, you know, in terms of creativity and being able to adapt to, you know, to whatever changes are coming down from the government, our restaurants and the shops have been doing a really, really great job of coming up with alternatives. I mean, you see places like Bond, who, you know, still has great, you know, nice upscale outdoor seating. As well as we still have over 25 spots that have outdoor seating options for at this point, you know, people who are willing to, you know, to kind of like make the trek and still support those restaurants outside under some heaters. But, you know, Fond has also been doing this pop-up sandwich thing for the past couple weekends where they've done, these awesome sausage sandwiches and cheesesteak sandwiches with their own unique twist on it. You've seen places like Laurel and In the Valley, Nick Elmy's spots, who have been collaborating with Curiosity Donuts to do these limited time pop-ups. So they started out last month with just a couple days. They did a couple Wednesdays, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and the one ahead of that. Opened up at 8 a.m. and they sell Curiosity Donuts, which are like hugely sought after, from 8 a.m. until sellout. And man, the line was just down the block. And I think they sold out within an hour on those days in November. And so now they've been doing that for Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays moving forward for this month. And so it's really great to see folks adapting and just shifting what they're doing to, you know, to maintain a connection with the public out there.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And I want to say also that you listed a bunch of fantastic and fabulous restaurants, but also East Passyunk Avenue is well known throughout the region for having some of the best small businesses to do shopping. And whether you want to go to Small Business Saturday on East Passyunk Avenue or your holiday shopping, a lot of those shops have adapted, and you can still go online to support these businesses.
Yep. Out of necessity, of course. You know, a lot of the places have enhanced their online profiles and set up shipping options and curbside pickup. So, you know, if you're looking to, you know, to really, you know, be as safe as possible, there's still a way to show that local support. If you're buying, you know, books or toys or home goods or clothing, then, you know, there's tons of spots along the avenue that that can help fill those needs.
That's great. And also for the holidays, as I said, we're going to mention some things, but in this year, people have gotten used to the curveball and the detour. Are we still having Deck the Ave East Passyunk Holidays, East Passyunk Holiday Punch Card and Raffles, and Photos with Santa?
Absolutely. So we still have lots going on. I mean, just this past week, we did our tree lighting, but we did it virtually. So had people be able to watch through Facebook and Instagram. But the tree is at the Singing Fountain, all lit up and beautiful for anyone to come down and see on their own time. We're going to be doing social distance photos with Santa. So in a way that where you stand on one side, there's a decorative element in the middle that is 6 feet long, and then Santa's on the other side. And you know, you can do it in a way that's going to be comfortable for everyone, and you don't have to set up a plexiglass box.
You definitely have to
get guy in.
This is just going to be my advice. You definitely cannot have a Santa there who's hard of hearing, because if the kid is going to tell him what he wants for Christmas, he's going to have to yell it pretty loud, like, I want
Santa
the iPad.
They had an old-fashioned one of those old-timey, like hearing horns. Or, I don't know what they're called.
Cans on a string.
Yeah, yeah. I think cans on a string.
But yeah, still lots going on. And I think you mentioned the punch card, where, you know, when you spend $100 at any combination of different places on the avenue, and just show proof of that, those $100 purchases, then every week, we'll pick someone out of a raffle and give them an awesome gift card from a spot on the Ave. And so, you know, again, tons of ways. Just there's always something going on the avenue. Yesterday we had Snack Time Big Brass Band, who are out at the Singing Fountain playing some cool tunes. Today we had an acoustic guitar player. Next week we're going to be having a marimba player, as well as our E-Pop. It's the East Passyunk Opera Pop-Up, who are going to be doing some caroling down by Mifflin Street where the boxer statue is. So if you check out our website, we're at visiteastpassyunk.com, and we have a whole listing of everything that's going on and still updating on a regular basis.
That's awesome. Now, I don't know if it has happened already, or this is just an idea that I'm throwing out there that hasn't happened. But one of the things, as you know, Don, because you've been to Italy countless times, is around the holiday seasons and even throughout the summer, the main thoroughfares in the dining areas of European cities have forever dined outdoors.
They did.
Even in the winter. Wow. I mean, this is a new concept to Americans. We're just like, oh my goodness, what are we doing?
It's going to be too cold.
In Europe, it's happened my entire time that I've ever visited Europe.
Yeah.
So is there any thought with the city or you guys to having East Passyunk close for maybe some weekends to have that full outdoor experience, to have maybe some fire pits and bonfires and something like that to make it a holiday village sort of feel like they do in European areas?
Yeah, we've definitely talked about a lot of those ideas. Again, you know, we're trying to stick within the framework of what is really allowed by the city. We actually did in the fall, October and November, we did a shutdown of the 1600 block just below between Tasker Street and Morris Street, and set up expanded outdoor seating for the restaurants on that block in particular, which went really well. And I think that's something we can definitely bring back. Right now we're continuing to focus again on those 25 plus spots that currently have some form of outdoor seating, whether they're the streetery parking spot takeovers or just sidewalk seating. And now we're starting to look into the spots that are going to have special menus, obviously for Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's. If people are looking for specialties like, I don't know if you guys know what sufganiyot are for Hanukkah. They're basically like really fancy jelly donuts. So
good.
Essen Bakery has, you'd be in heaven.
And somebody's going to have a good brisket, I bet.
Yeah. we have brisket. I mean, you can either pick up your own brisket from Primal Supply Meats and do it yourself, or you can check out a menu like from Flannel, who I think was the last guest who I joined the show in person with.
Yes.
Mark from Flannel is going to have a Hanukkah special meal with a sweet Memphis barbecue brisket and also an herbed matzo ball soup with rich duck and chicken soup, which I just finished eating, but I'm ready to go round two with thinking about it.
That is great. So obviously you guys have adapted the best possible. We've got contactless shopping, online ordering, delivery, that sort of thing. What would you say is going to be the biggest challenge in 2021 that you see going forward?
I think the biggest challenge is going to be continuing to, you know, to adapt and you know, really just follow whatever the necessary guidelines are, because they've been changing so frequently. And I know it's definitely taken a toll on people, both emotionally as well as economically. And so that's why more than ever, we appreciate, both from the overall Avenues perspective, as well as on behalf of the independent business owners, the support of not only our local community, but, you know, people all around the region and beyond, who have visited East Passyunk before, who know the Avenue, who know what a wonderful place it is. And, you know, they're supporting direct, you know, neighbors. Yeah. and these business owners who are then in turn reinvesting.
Yeah, I mean,
that money.
They're living and working there.
Local,
yeah, I mean, they're living and working there. So with that tune, it's the holiday season. Say someone's listening and is in a giving mood. Is there any organization or fund that East Passyunk Avenue has set up to assist displaced workers or anyone in that business community that's struggling? Do you guys have that? Do you recommend someone? Anything like that?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't have one specifically set up just yet. It's something that we have been looking into to make sure that, you know, if and when we set it up, that it can have a distinct impact. But there's three spots that I would look at in particular. One is that if there, you know, is a restaurant who you have a personal connection with, that you know is in need right now, to go check out their direct information to see if they've set up a GoFundMe for their employees or anything like that. In particular, I know Labor 2 has done so, River Twice has done that, and then I would also look at a larger regional organization is called Cooks Who Care. They've been doing some great work in terms of supporting the independent restaurants and basically.
They're wonderful. And Marie is great.
Yes. Yeah. So you're already familiar with them. And then on the national level, save restaurants and getting, the larger collective power to, to push for relief and advocacy from the national level.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, Adam, even during these difficult times, I couldn't be happier to have you join us.
His organization has it very well together.
I mean, you guys are top of the line. That area of Philadelphia, you know that no matter where you go on East Passyunk Ave, it's going to be an experience above and beyond, for the most part, anywhere else that you can experience anywhere else in the city. And that's a credit to what you guys have created in the business community and the residents who have supported everyone there. So great job. We can't wait to have you join us again in studio, because we always enjoy the fantastic little goodies that you bring in. And we want you and your family and everyone to have a happy holiday season, buddy. And before you leave...
Likewise. Thank you, guys. And thank you for your support. We honestly appreciate it.
No problem at
all. No problem. And before you go, feel free to share any social medias or websites.
You got it. So you can find us, visit eastpassyunk.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook at East Passyunk, and I'm pronouncing it the regular way, so it's PASSYUNK.
No, Passyunk. We all know how to spell that.
Yeah. I know you do. There might be a first-time listener out there.
Well, then they're going to have to just not worry about it, because if you're in the know, you're in the know. Yeah, as we say.
They will learn it.
They will learn it. That's right, Don. Have a great night, Adam.
Adam, good night.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean,
his organization does a great job all around for all the restaurants, and not just the restaurants, also the regular establishments, stores. What do you want to call them? I mean, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they support the whole avenue.
Exactly. I mean,
from top to bottom.
And I mean, the transformation there has been phenomenal.
It has. I remember younger. The place used to close at 5 o'clock.
It was ghost town.
And it was nothing after that. It was, So he got together with the restaurateurs and the merchants and said, look, now for us to make this avenue the top-notch avenue that it should be, we need to say, hey, we need to be able to open a little later, invite people to come down and so they feel like they're family walking down the street, and you get to see them every weekend, every other day.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a credit to the real estate developers, too, that the community really picked itself up as well, because, the real estate wasn't going the way it should in that area either. But I'm going to tell you one person who's not only visited East Passyunk Avenue, but many avenues, streets, boulevards, drives, everywhere in and around this area. And you know him, well, Don.
I know him very well.
Well, I'll let you introduce him. It's James Pappas of
Cheesesteak Adventures.
Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventures.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I sure changed you. All right, I sure changed you.
Yes, you did. That's one of my bigger words, too.
He didn't give you the wit treatment.
Yeah.
That was just...
Wit or without?
Wit. He didn't give you a wit with the treatment. But it's great to talk to you again, buddy. I mean, my goodness gracious, I don't know how you don't have a sponsorship from Lipitor or one of them by now, from the amount of greasy cheesesteaks that you've eaten.
What's Lipitor?
Your doctor will be telling you shortly after your next blood test, I'm sure.
I'm surprised he's not like 400 and something pounds.
It's something secret.
What's funny, because my doctor is my wife's boyfriend, and he tells me to eat more cheesesteaks and gain more weight.
Well, they always tell you the two people you can't lie to are your doctor and your lawyer. So, But all kidding aside, I mean, we knew James, whatever you want to call him, Cheesesteak Man.
Yeah.
Jim.
At the beginning of this journey, and my, oh my, has this journey grown. He's been spotlighted by the Philadelphia Inquirer, Fox 29, Food and Wine. I'll raise my pinky for that one, James. MSN, Delaware Online, NJ.com, a bunch of radio stations, Philly Bite Magazine, Water Ice, Just Grubbin', Dining on a Dime, Philly Grub. It goes on and on and on and on. I mean, you are the Philadelphia personality when it comes to the know how and what we should be doing with cheesesteak. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. And with that said, I'm going to call tonight. Thanks for having me. I don't know how I go up from there.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what you got to go from there. You've got to go from there and say, since you're the man who knows about cheesesteaks, 2021 would not be the year that it could possibly be without purchasing a 2021 cheesesteak calendar from you. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. We got to rebound from 2020 with a vengeance, and the only way to do that is with a decorative, functional, and money-saving 2021 cheesesteak calendar.
I mean, my goodness gracious. And we in studio were lucky enough to receive 2021 cheesesteak calendars. And I got to tell you, to anyone listening who enjoys a cheesesteak, even if it's just occasionally, even if you're a vegan, I recommend you to purchase a 2021 cheesesteak calendar to hang on your wall to know what beautiful, luxurious...
What you're missing.
Exactly. Yes. And the places that Jim has in the calendar, will, and it's no secret, correct? I can mention the names that are in the calendar?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's out there.
So we've got Meatheads, Tony Joe's House of Great Eats, Tenderbones, Peter and Sons, Esterly's, Wilson's Secret Sauce, Frolicking, McGillin's, Donkey's Place, Oh Brother, Hog Island Steaks, Leo's, and Charlie's Roast Pork. And best of all, Don, one of my favorite features of the calendar was on the back side of the calendar, which I don't know why it was the back side. It should have been the front or in the actual calendar, is a selfie of James.
Yeah.
At all of these places.
And he looks beautiful.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny because some of the places were like, hey, come on, we want you on our picture. I'm like, well, you know what? I have a special spot for myself, Sade. So let's feature your cheesesteak on your page, your month, and then I'll don the back of the calendar.
Well, I mean, it's... Some people do enjoy being on the backside of things.
Yeah.
yes, they do. Yeah. But I figured that was appropriate.
He's like you're speechless.
It did. I was. Well, I was thinking back to. I was listening to your shows on. I was getting into the mindset to be able to come on your podcast, and I was listening to the past shows, and I guess one of your shows started out with sticky fingers and down to the side. I'm like, oh, no, I was having flashbacks.
Yeah. And you fit right in.
Yeah, exactly. Must have been having trouble sleeping to listen to some past episodes. I mean, it's the perfect thing to cure insomnia.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, looking at the calendar, I do like the way that it's laid out, especially in January. You show started and then ended, that you started in this little tiny place and then it ended with this beautiful cheesesteak. Are all of the pictures directly from yourself? Did you curate all of the pictures?
I took, for the calendar, I took 10 of the months.
Okay. What happened to the other two?
Tony Joe's, they have their own Facebook person. And they did a great job. They have a good coupon also. Tony Joe's, you go there and you get a $10 gift card. And then Meatheads took their own pictures. But I took all the rest. I take full credit for the rest. And it's funny because when I did an original concept of the calendar, and I went and I showed it to May in particular, Wilson's Secret Sauce, I had to go back to them at the end and say, hey, we need to retake your page because I've gotten much better at taking pictures and laying out the pages. So we had to reshoot everything.
Awesome.
Which is my benefit because...
Another cheesesteak.
Absolutely. You got to have another one, huh?
Yeah. Oh, darn. I got to come back.
I messed up.
Exactly, yeah. You almost think I made up a reason to go back, huh? And plus, Steve's always working on something. So there's always, like, the cheesesteak and then something else that he's working on, candied bacon or something's going on over there all the time.
So, but so 2020 was a rough year. What month in 2021 are you looking forward to the most?
January. First one. Let's just get it started.
Okay, because I was just wondering what cheesesteak it was going to be. So we're going to start the year at Esterly's.
Esterly's. Well, it's funny because Esterly's has a greaseless cheesesteak, and that cheesesteak has traveled around the world. That cheesesteak, maybe not you, Derek, but for the rest of us, that cheesesteak's been to the – people have taken his cheesesteak to Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Everest, Tahiti, Seoul, Korea, all 50 states. They just travel really well. And that's also why they're January, you know, just to start the year off, get everybody in the adventurer kind of mode.
Well, I will take your word for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a selling point for me to say that the cheesesteak could last that long.
Yeah, exactly. I'm more of an instant gratification guy myself. I'm an order and consume there.
Now, let's see. We've been on this journey. I think the first time we met you, I mean, geez, Don, I think he was up to maybe 300 locations the first time. And then we saw you in studio a couple times with the show that you were involved with and think you were up to 500 and then 600. So how many are we up to now?
We're at 733.
Good golly.
My God.
Is there any number that you will say... this is it, or will this be until we find you 6 feet under with, instead of a bouquet of flowers, just a spread of cheesesteaks on the coffin?
I try to avoid the, I try not to make fun, too much fun of the bad, what it's doing to my health, because I don't want to jinx anything, but...
Well, we want you to live for a long time, but I'm just saying that will this be...
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I don't make too much fun of the cholesterol, but no, I'm looking for definitely to get to 1,000.
Okay.
And I've done a nice 250 different cheesesteaks a year. Seems to be a nice, easy number I can get to without killing myself. No pun intended. And hopefully by next year, because I'll be, you know, hopefully you'll have me back next year and I'll be right knock on the door of 1,000. And then hopefully I'll be selling enough calendars by then I can slow down on the cheesesteaks.
Now, you have a YouTube channel, correct? That when you go to each location, we get to be graced by a video of you devouring the food. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. I go to every place. Every place I go to, and because I do the Uber and Lyft driving, I don't know where I'm going to be day to day. So wherever I end up, when I'm hungry, I try to grab a cheesesteak. So I don't go with any no notice or anything. But I'm usually wearing Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure gear, and then I get my signed selfie because I need to have myself on every page. Then I have three standard photos I take of the cheesesteak, and then I try to get at least one minute video of me eating it, and then I put together do a little write up. I paste all the pictures and video together, make a little bit longer video, and then Facebook Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure, my website Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure. You know, unlike your other guests, I'm not very smart, so I have Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure for everything.
But you're darn good looking.
Well, thank you very much. I'm gonna can I can you just intro me like once a week, and then I'll go away because you say such wonderful things about me.
You can take anything that we have on the show and rip it in an MP4 format and make it your audio tone when your phone rings. That's what I always recommend to my friends and family. But you chose the perfect format even during a pandemic, because a cheesesteak is a food that not only travels well, but you don't have to sit down and enjoy it. It was already an on-the-go sort of food. So that was great in its own right, that even when all of this went down, unfortunately, you still got to enjoy the thing that you enjoy the most in the world.
Absolutely. And a lot of the takeout places, because the other restaurants were closing, you know, a lot of the takeout places did okay. You know, no one's happy. No one's doing phenomenally well. But a lot of it wasn't as much doom and gloom on most days for
cheesesteak. But I have to ask you, you've been to 700 and whatever number 33. It was, 33 that you've mentioned. Please tell me there's at least one entertaining story that you could tell us in 2 to 3 minutes that you don't even have to name the location, that it was just a nightmare from start to finish. Please tell me that there's just one story that was just horrible.
Nightmare. It's funny. I thought you were going the other way. I was getting excited to tell my favorite story, but
no, we always go the opposite way.
Nightmare story. So I went to Opening Tap. What was that, a year and a half ago, I guess. Went to Opening Tap, and there was a pub there, and the person running the tap was great, loved their beers, asked if they had a cheesesteak. They did. So, you know, I had him on the back of my mind. I maintain a list of places I want to go to that people tell me about to go to. So I knew I had it on my list, back of my mind to go to this pub. And it was far from my house. And it was a Thursday or Friday, maybe a Thursday, maybe midweek, but it was right after dinner time. It had been a really long day, and I was far from home, and I hadn't had my cheesesteak yet. So I'm like, you know what? This is perfect. I'm far from home, and it turned out I was in the town where the pub is. I'm like, this is perfect. I earned one. I deserve one. I'm getting one. And I looked forward to it. It has a good reputation. I found a parking spot right in front of the place. I'm like, this couldn't be any better. It was right after happy hour. And, you know, because we review them, you know, I go in and I'm looking around and I'm listening to the conversations and I'm looking and seeing what's going on. And it's happy hour's over, so I guess they had a crowd for happy hour. I sit down, and the bartender is across the bar complaining to some other customers that she was obviously friends with about how bad happy hour was. And apparently she had a really bad customer. She's over complaining about them. She finally comes over to me. I saw a beer on the list I liked, asked for it. Nope, that keg kicked her in happy hour. Asked for another one, that keg kicked her in happy hour. Half their taps were out. So I finally settled on a beer. I ordered my cheesesteak. And I have many French fry stories. I was on a bad French fry episode. So she asked if I wanted French fries. I'm like, nope. And my cheesesteak came. It looked good. And it was just gristle.
No, out of beer and gristle. That's terrible. But I have to tell you, Jim, that's the worst. When you're just expecting, especially if you've heard good things, just gristle. That's terrible. But I have to say, I want everybody to go out, purchase the calendar, because all the places that you have on your calendar are not just going to give you gristle. And I have to thank you, too, because you were mentioning that a lot of people give you tips. I gave you a tip of 322 barbecue because they were a guest and we really enjoyed what they brought in. And I know that you went down there and gave them a try. I told them that we told you to go down and that triple smoked bacon. I mean, that's like crack. You have one of them, you're itching your arm until it bleeds till you get another hit of some triple smoked bacon.
Absolutely. Well, you're actually, yeah, I got to say, Derek, you're 3 for 3. You might have a future in food. I'm not sure yet.
But maybe.
So far, you're 3 for 3 for me.
I hope I have you're a future in something because with a face like this, there's not much that I can do. Mm-hmm. But
thank God for the masks.
Exactly. I want everyone to go out to get the 2021 cheesesteak calendar from Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventures. It's our man, James Pappas. Share social media, website, anything like that, buddy, before you go.
Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure website, Facebook, Instagram. I think I'm Cheesesteak Adventure. YouTube channel, Philadelphia Cheesesteak Adventure. The calendar's on Amazon. If you Google 2021 Cheesesteak calendar, it pops right up because apparently it's the only one.
Awesome. Thanks so much, buddy. You're our last guest of 2020. Yeah. It was a pleasure. Be safe and healthy and looking forward to 2021. You and your family have a good, happy holidays.
Could see you earlier.
Bye-bye.
See you bye.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's worse than just getting gristle.
Oh, gristle's terrible.
Just like pulling it. It's like rubber band. You're like pulling it out. And then it's
like flossing your teeth with a cheesesteak.
Well, I don't think I've actually had that much fun flossing my teeth. I might try flossing with gristle instead because it's not a good experience with, especially my luck at the dentist the last few times I've been there. Might as well try something else because real floss and Listerine ain't doing it. But we can't end 2020 without talking to one of our favorite people, and that would be
Chef
Barbie Marshall.
Marshall.
How's it going, Chef? Long time. We apologize. We ran out of time last episode, but we made sure we had to get you on for our last episode of the year.
Hi. I am doing well. I am a snowbird. Taking off from Philly this winter because everything is closed. Not everything. I mean, there are quite a few restaurants still open, but a lot of them have chosen to be COVID cautious and closed for the winter. The ones who are not, please, please, please. I mean, if you are going to go out and eat, support them, make sure you're tipping them. The hospitality industry is suffering because of this, and a lot of people are out of work with no financial support, and a lot of businesses are closing. So, you know, if we want to continue to have small bites, then have small, delicious bites, then, you know, we have to think about the people who can't actually work in their field right now.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
In Philly, there's a lot of them. I mean, yeah, sure, the restrictions aren't as strenuous in the suburbs, and a lot of places have more room to do outdoor seating, but we just don't have that in Philly.
Yeah.
So
it's been tough. And as Adam Leiter, the executive director of East Passyunk Ave Business Improvement District, mentioned to us earlier in the show, we encourage you to go out and find websites or GoFundMes that are supporting these local hospitality workers and industries and businesses to make sure that if you can help them in any way, that you are. And that's definitely that's definitely the way that we want to go
around to help us next year.
I think pretty sure I heard Gaffieri raised like $23 million to help out unemployed restaurant workers.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. But I want to say, first and foremost, Chef Barbie, thank you for everything that you've done for us, contributing, talking to us. And we want you and your family to be safe and healthy. Have a happy holiday season. And we're looking forward to talking to you again in 2021. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Yeah, have a nice holiday, bro.
You too.
Jeff.
All right. So, Don, that's 2020 in the book.
Sure is.
You want to kick it off, end it?
I'm Donato Marino with D&L Coffee Service. You can see us on Facebook. Remember that tip your people, support the local areas, neighborhoods, and let's move on to 2021 and start all over.
Exactly. I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. We had John Howard Fusco. Thank you for everything. Rom Crump of One Dine. Adam Leiter of East Passyunk. Jane Pappas of Cheesesteak Adventures. We also talked to Chef Barbie Marshall. Small Bites, listen to us Sunday, 6:35 p.m. Wildfire Radio, or many of our syndicated channels.
The new one is?
We just were added to Pandora, and we end the show like we did the last episode with a little change. We're going to end it with Chef Christina Martin with her healthy tip of the week, and then end it like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martlin.
Hi, this is Chef Christina for Small Bites with your healthy bite of the day. Eating healthy is not expensive when you plan ahead. Making your meals ahead of time will end up saving you money in the long run and help you to eat more healthy. Batch cook a grain, chop a bunch of veggies for salads or stir fries for during the week, and use your leftovers for the next day's lunch. For more healthy cooking and lifestyle tips, find me on Instagram at Chef Christina.
Hi, this is Jackie Martling for Small Bites. Abraham's walking through the desert, and he hasn't eaten for days. On Christmas Day, he comes across a church, goes in, kneels at the altar, and prays, God, please give me some food. A lump of meat drops at his feet, and he eats it. He comes back every day with the same prayer, and every day he's rewarded, until one day, a hand drops at his feet. He looks up and he sees a leper painting the ceiling. Follow me on Twitter at Jackie Martling, J-A-C-K-I-E-M-A-R-T-L-I-N-G.